Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. I would say Monday, but it's Tuesday today, as you all well know. Kevin, Terry, Amy, Leland, Mark. So good to see you. What is that? What was that show from our childhood where they would get on the little mirror and they would see you in the magic mirror? That's how I feel right now, like I'm looking at the magic mirror. Well, I hope everyone had a good long weekend. Labor Day is really intended to celebrate, right? All the hard work and effort that we do. Our goal is to reap reward for that effort, which is one of the things that we're going to talk about today. So it is my pleasure to honor you to this year's Grow Summit. The goal of the Grow Summit is to really help you get clear and get focused, and then ultimately get to work clarifying how you're going to drive growth in your practice. That can be averaging up client sizes. It can be transitions, as we learned earlier in the year. And then it can be, right, putting in effort and energy to actually go out and attract and acquire new clients, which is what this quarter and this summit is all about. So we have a lot of amazing content for you. It really does have the power to transform your practice and your life if you can grow in ways that are really clearly aligned with your goals. So keep that in mind as we go through today's session. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Allison for a little housekeeping.
Yes, so we are super excited today to have Coach Stephanie, Coach Tiffany, Adam, and Greg joining us for today. If you remember last year, you know Tiffany and the amazing work and coach she did with our leaders program. And Greg Will Now is with Will Now Design and will be leading our website sessions. So we have a great lineup for today. We're excited to have everyone here.
Yeah. For
Okay.
those of you who don't have Tiffany's background, she started in life as a private client, then in lifestyle as a client, and just has an incredible growth story for herself and her firm. If you're not familiar with her, definitely catch some of those sessions because she's fantastic. All right. Let's see, Allison. Next, we have agenda.
Yes. So each of you have your personalized agenda on Cvent, and all of your sessions are automatically added to my schedule, which I'll show you on the next slide. But essentially, today we have two concurrent sessions running throughout the day. We do have a midday break and two breaks scattered throughout. So hopefully, you can grab something to eat and stretch your legs. And you can see all of the people that will be joining us for the variety of sessions throughout the day.
Excellent. Hey, Laura. I just saw Laura join. She's outside. That's such, I hope she's, or is that a background? Such a lovely idea.
Hey, outside.
I'm trying to figure out how I could do summits walking or outside. I haven't figured it out yet. That's
Maybe
tough.
like Christy Rains, I think, joins us by and large outside, which is awesome.
That's great. Yeah.
Okay, so how to find your personalized agenda for the day? When you're on the homepage of Cvent, you're simply going to click on My Schedule, and that will take you to the sessions. You made your way here, so we have confidence that you can do that for the rest of the day. But if you have any questions, let us know. If for any reason you decide you want to switch sessions, you can go up to the top and click on Schedule, and then select All Sessions. That will allow you to remove and add to change the lineup that you have for today. And if you miss anything, it's okay because all of these sessions are instantly recorded and added under schedule and then on demand. So you can watch those as soon as we finish today if you really wanted to.
If you're that motivated, if you want to
Yeah,
go
that
way back and watch
it, 8 hours of
it again.
content isn't enough for you. You can
You say
immediately
that
go
like
and
it's
watch
funny,
the
Allison, but people do it all the time. I
video.
have people call me up and be like, I listened to your kids' podcast 9 times. Like, how could you? Yeah.
Okay,
When
and
you
then
do something, you
click
get to
back
really,
one for me, Steph.
yeah, you get, oh, click back one for you. I'm sorry.
Okay, and then the last few things is if you want to participate in our game today, we have a spirit of very friendly competition around here with an amazing book set for our prize. So be sure to opt into the game. And then last, this is super important, when you're on the page that is for each session, before you click join, that is where you're going to find your Q&A. That's where you can participate in polls. And if you click on, there's going to be a button that says resource for any other session besides the keynote, but it will have your slides, it will have your summit action plan, and any worksheets that we go through. So be sure to click on that button that says resources. And then at the end of each session, a survey is going to launch, and you just need to take the survey for us really quick and let us know what you thought of the session. as well as an end of day survey for us, please. So that is it for housekeeping. Thanks.
I just had an idea that I think is so fun, and I'm going to share it with you all. And you guys can vote it up or vote it down. This is just going to be so easy for Allison for next year. So you guys have gotten so good. We are working really to make sure there's as much advisor peer-to-peer engagement in sessions as possible. You get so much out of each other. So we always do these little gamifications at the events and get you to ask questions and do all that. And Allison, as you were talking, I just had an idea. What if the winners of each session's retreat, summit, whatever it is, what if the winners of each of those got to come to Park City and we did like a whole day together, just like strategizing and planning and hanging out? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Would you guys like up the engagement a little bit? For sure. All right. I love that.
Carrie's here for it.
That's done. Yeah, you just have to be here next year and you have to engage. Love it. Actually, you know what we're going to do for this year's winners, Allison? We'll draw somebody from this year's events. And that person will get to go to next year since they were around the year that the idea was conceived. That seems fair. So you could there's your chance right there. You can engage today and we could be hanging out in Park City next year. It could be cool. Nick could be cool. Nick's always quiet. I'm going to get Nick to talk today. That's my goal, Nick. See, now he's talking and he's on mute.
I was talking and I was on mute.
There you go. All right. I want to talk a little bit as we get into the conversation on growth, which is a really sexy topic. We love it. What I hope you've gathered from the first part of this year is that a conversation about growth is not just a conversation about more clients. It is a conversation about what you want to grow into, what you want it to be like along the way. It's about clients. It's about capacity. It's about service levels. It's about pricing. It's about who you do your best work with. It's about what channels are you getting clients from. All of those things ultimately are components in your growth engine. So in Limitless, we're really laying the tracks in year one. If you're just joining us for the first time this year, that year one track is about getting brilliant at the basics. I do not want you to get distracted by shiny stuff and I'm going to go whoopee this and wow that. The year one is really about getting clear on the client, the story, the messaging, and then ultimately laying the tracks for that marketing machine. What channels are you going to choose? What basic consistent activities are you going to do? How much time, effort, and money are you going to apply? What kind of tracking are you going to put in place, right? If you can lay those tracks, imagine you're going from New York to California, Leland, right? We'd love to just get in the rocket ship, but we're not quite there. We have to lay the tracks along the way, right? And then once those tracks are laid, for those of you that are year two or year three, or if you've heard Adam's story or Taylor's story or Kathy's story, what you ultimately hear is year one is laying the tracks. And then I get the phone call, but this guy didn't part and 100 amazing clients and just drop into my lap. No, if it were that easy, everyone would do it. Laying the tracks is putting those pieces in place and then being willing to follow up and do what we call honing your craft, right? Imagine there are gears in a machine. You've got to go back and tweak each of those gears. That's where data is your friend. Marketing has some sexy, sizzly components to it, but it's like 10%. Really effective marketing, if you peel back the curtain, is science and process. It's data and systems, which is why you don't have to be that like shiny, outgoing, charismatic person to be a really effective marketer. Really effective marketers are good at putting a story and a system in place and showing up and telling it over and over and over again. And if you're in the marketing plan lesson later, what you're going to hear me to say is just about the time you get bored to death of it, or you're certain it doesn't work and walk away is about the time it starts to. So what we need to know is beyond our discernment, is this a good idea, bad idea? Should I spend this? Should I not? Is it working? Is it not? We ultimately want to bring some method, right? And some mindset to help us kind of master. So once we lay the tracks, then we can lean in, right? Leland, we can take that first section of track. We can look at it. We can get some data. We can tweak it, flatten, right? Level the ground a little bit, get that going a little bit better. We go to the next piece of the track. And as you do that, you will get clients, right? The train or the plane will take off, using my runway analogy. Year two, it gets better. You start to feel it, the momentum. By year three, it could be year five. If you drag it out, it can be year two if you really kick it into gear and you're investing time and energy and money. But the idea is there will come a point where the system works and you know that you've hit that, what I call the 3-year runway, Leland, because the leads show up. Adam doesn't go, oh gosh, where am I going to get leads this year? He just knows inputs equals outputs. If I do this, leads show up. Like that system and that pipeline are really consistent, right? There's confidence there because it's not his charisma. It's that pipeline. It's that track that we laid and then refined over time. So that's really a tease conversation because I'm really now going to lean into, we talk early in the year about the confidence that you need to grow. We got to have the confidence to get right with our clients, to do the right sizing and the pricing. But really, we have to get clear on who we do our best work with, our ideal client, and our ability to talk to them, right? We want to tell that story loudly and proudly without hesitation or apology, no more like, right? If you're not there, that's job one. When you get that clarity, not before, is when you want to turn on your marketing gears, because otherwise you're compounding, right? Not optimal clients. If you don't have your services and your capacity dialed in, right? You don't want to double or triple and compound the operational and service issues, right? You want to nail that down and get it really solid. And then you want to grow on top of it. As you're growing, you just want to have a math conversation with you, right? So getting in that place of being confident and willing to tell your story is a confidence issue. And we're all working on overcoming that. The other two things that stop you from marketing, every time, every study, every conversation I have, there is some version of, I don't have enough time and I don't have enough money to grow in the way that I want to. Now, here's the really hard conversation. Those are excuses. Their rationalizations and their justifications. I started a business at 24 with like $500 in financial services with male clients over 50, right? Like you can make, but you're going to trade time for money. So one of my favorite sayings is there's fast, there's good, and there's cheap. Pick two. There's fast and good, but it's not cheap. There's cheap and fast, usually not good, right? There's cheap and good, but it's definitely not fast. Exceptions are everyone's got like that favorite like Mexican food dive on the corner or Thai place in your town. Like we've got one and it's always got a line around the building because it's fast, good, and cheap, right? So the reason that I'm teeing up that conversation is I want to talk to you about the economics of marketing. Time is a mindset. You all have 86,400 seconds in a day. You, as we talk about so much in Limitless, you do not. Harsh Coach Truth said with ultimate love and respect, none of you, not me, not Laura, not Kevin, we do not have time problems. We have priority problems. We don't have the discernment and the discipline to get yes on what's in and what's out, whether it's clients or team or projects or time. And we continuously, with all love, I know because I suffer from it too, try to put 10 pounds of shiznit into a 5-pound bag. And I have yet in my 30 years of trying found a way to do that without it being messy or stinky or hard. It's just not, right? So we want to really clear about why we're getting the results that we're getting. So time is a choice that we make. We can deal with that on a different day if that is your issue. So we've got confidence as our holdback. We've got time as our holdback. And now the big one, because we're all right, we can all claim this one. I don't have enough money. Well, let's talk about the economics of marketing, right? Let's really dive into what does it cost to get a client? What's it worth to get a client? How much should we actually be investing? Terry, Gary, and Jennifer have just sold their nursery and landscaping business. They're lovely people. They now have $1 million. They're looking for a holistic financial planner. They want someone to guide them confidently into that next stage of life. They have more questions than answers. Let's assume that they're happily going to pay you 1% or $10,000 a year for the duration of their life. How much would you spend to get them, Terry?
Five grand.
Anyone outbid Terry? Do I have any bidders? Better, better, better.
I'll pay 10. I'll pay 10.
I'll say 10 50. Grand.
All right, 50.
50.
All right, so let's see how that plays out when we do the math, right? So this goes back to, you always hear me say it, and I don't say it because it's a cute little thing to say. It is, but that's not why I say it. When I say get clear, get focused, get to work, the reason that I do that is we almost always do everything in reverse. We get to work, and then we go, oh, this is what I got. Do I like it? Do I not like it? Right. And then we go, oh, I got to clean stuff up. I got to get focused. And then I got to go hire a consultant or right. Spend 10 years trying to get clear. And Mark will tell you that doesn't always work. Right. And so when we say get clear first, it's because we skip over 90% of what we need to know, think, and reflect on to make informed decisions that are aligned with our goals to get rid of all that grind that we talk about. The complexity, the effort, the dilution, right? I say this all the time. I say it to you guys. I say it to my clients who are multi-billion dollar firms. 80% of our hard work, I'm subject to this too. No one gets out alive, right? But it's how you minimize it. 80% of that hard work, of the efforting and the grinding and the thinking about it on the weekends and the struggle and that person left and 80% of that hard work is because we are simply don't have the discernment or the discipline to make the hard decisions that we need to make as we grow to keep things in line. And so they get complicated and they get messy and we have to, right? I always say, if you do not take your medicine now, you will take your medicine later. That staff issue will magnify that, you know, like you always have to chase the leads to get in, right? You can't go on vacation. Like all of those issues compound with growth unless you resolve them. So you hear me say all the time that we think growing will solve the problems. It turns out solving the problems is what positions you to grow. But when you're there, I want you to grow intelligently. I want you to have the information you need to make informed and educated choices about your marketing and how to invest your time, your energy, and your capital. So let's talk about the lifetime value of a client. Lifetime value of that client at a 30% margin, which you should absolutely be able to hit, or 50% to 60% EBOC, no problem, right? At 30%, that client's going to be $60,000 over the course of that lifetime. You can look at different values depending on your margin and your client retention rate. This is where margin makes a really big difference, as does client retention at 60% margin. So you see, oops, that was real fast. You see those numbers. You see those numbers jump up. So now if that client is going to be worth $120,000, is it $5,000, $10,000, or $50,000 that you're willing to spend? It's probably not 50, right? That's still like 2.5x, but you got to wait 50 years for it, right? So there is the time value of money that you really want to think about. So one of the challenges that we see, some of you, as you reach that $1 million mark, might be here, and we certainly see it on the other side, which is you really can grow yourself broke. And what I mean by that is, right, as you take on more clients, you have to hire people, then you get to a point where it takes about 3 years to break even, right? Because there's a lot of upfront work, there's the marketing cost, et cetera. So if that pipeline, if your pipeline's slow, you're complaining that you're not growing. If your pipeline is too fast, you're complaining about capacity or margins every single time. That's going to be the complaint. That's what you're going to call me with. At a million, at 3 million, at 5 million, 8 million, 12 million, and on. Like I know exactly within a range, that's where it's going to break down. If you're not careful, so you've got to find the sweet spot on, you can't go spend $10,000 on that client, Terry, even if it's worth $120,000, because if you did that, you'd spend $100,000 in marketing this year and you'd have, right? What in right? Like that's the math that we ultimately want to do. So for every 10,000 we spend on a $1 million client, we should ultimately, right? We'd be able to produce, that's a 6x return. That's a pretty good return on investment. We're not even accounting for market growth. With market growth, as we know, it compounds exponentially higher than that. So now what is the client worth to acquire? So we know we can't spend too much because we'll grow ourselves broke, but we know we don't want to spend too little, right? Because we want to be really strategic about how we thread that needle to drive growth in our firms. So the average advisory firm spends 2 to 3%. I'll tell you, it's really more like 1 to 3% because the people that answered the survey spend more than the people that don't answer the surveys. Right. So you've kind of got your like best of class are answering the surveys, which means the rest of the population is generally spending less. So why are we spending so little when clients are worth so much? And by the way, in a business where your retention is between 95 and 97%, if you're average at what you do, average, like find me another profession, right? Like food service provider, like those are incredible. It's an incredible business to be in, which is why even if you manage it over a decade, you can still do really okay in this business. At Limitless, we're not promising you that you can't do it without us, right? We're promising you that leapfrog of making it more efficient, more effective, and a lot more enjoyable. So the issue is we don't recognize the economics of the long-term client value, so we underspend. We're marketing inefficiently. We're doing things and activities that aren't working. Tiffany will tell you, she called me literally crying because she was working 70 hours a week doing everything on the list. She literally, her principal had her cold calling on businesses as a last resort. And she called me crying because she literally had to choose between buying her child underwear or socks. For real. She called me crying because in spite of working 70 hours a week and her only job was marketing, she was not getting the results that she wanted. So you can market with a dull knife and say marketing doesn't work. What we're talking about is building a marketing machine that gives you the data that you need so that you know how to make it work. You don't just throw up your hands and say it doesn't work and go hire a new vendor or go, right, give up and chase a new idea. So we're going to start with the clients, which is understanding the value. And the third is we're resource constrained. We don't have a lot of time or money if we're being really honest, right? You're not a huge firm and be like, hey, Steph, here's $100,000. How can we triple? That's pretty fun, right? So we have to get really clear on what are the resources, which we'll talk about in the marketing plan session, time, energy, and capital, right, that you get to apply. So if your total marketing spend was $85,000, including your time, by the way, which is the cost no one includes, but all that time you spend has a real cost. And let's say you got 12 clients in the year. That would mean the average client acquisition cost was $7,083. If the lifetime client value on a $500,000 account means the lifetime value of that client is $30,000. So you've spent $7,000 in the traditional sense, generating a $30,000 lifetime value, right? So if you think about that, the question you're going to ask yourself is, if I took that same $7,000 and I invested it in the market over 20 years, would it produce more than $30,000? That's the relationship you want. You should be able to do better than the market. Now, again, you're getting paid over 20 years. They're not going to give you an upfront lump sum, right? You have to invest now. You're not going to invest in the market to grow your practice over 20 years. You don't have all that capital, but it's a framework for really thinking about how we make choices about investing in marketing, particularly when we get like, oh, I don't want to spend. It's not that you're not willing to spend. I don't think any of you are really cheap. I think you really lack confidence that what you're spending is going to produce results. And that feels like jumping into a very expensive experiment, a big black hole. And I get it. I've made $60,000 mistakes. I've grossly overspent on things and gotten a really good, but not awesome result. And I just, you got to, right, wipe, pick yourself up, scrape it off, and you learn forward. Because every dollar that you spend on marketing that doesn't work out is either going to feel really bad, like a failure, or it's going to feel like a win because you don't fail, you win or you learn. Now I was like, okay, now I'm really clear about what I need to do here. I'm really clear about the level of involvement I need to have with vendors to get the kind of result that I want. Really valuable learning. So in this example, our first year profitability, if we think about the cost of services in a typical firm, we're actually going to be underwater by about $2,000 a year, which is why your fees, right, your pricing needs to be there. And ultimately, right, we don't want to be spending $85,000 and getting 12 clients. We want to look for efficiency and scale in our marketing. And that is what the Limitless strategies are really going to show you, is how do we show up? How do we get really clear about what we're going to do for our practice and goals? How do we get focused on the pieces of that machine that we're going to put in place based on that level of clarity, right? And then how do we get to work laying the tracks and then refining those gears patiently and consistently until we really start to see the results that we want. And then that runway ramps up, right? And then you can get all fun and sexy and sizzle and start adding things. But that's your basic formula. So client acquisition cost by client size, stage one, early practice, right? Starting out $719 has to be a lot of time and very little capital because that's what's available. Stage five, right? Mature big firm, $7,000 average. All practices average $2,100, $250,000 plus and up firms average $4,056 per client. Client acquisition cost by client size in benchmarks is almost always going to be hard costs, not time costs. They don't. Kitsis is actually the first one outside of us to study that. So you can see hard dollars and advisor time by practice size here, right? So stage one, two, three, four, and five. So you can come back to this later and really look at the data. But what it's basically saying is, right, bigger firms are spending more time, a smaller percentage of budget because, right, revenue, their revenue is just much, much higher. But you start to see, right, firms start to spend in this growth stage 4 to 5, on average 4 to 6% on marketing. So average firms spend 2 to 3%, top firms, right, which tend to be growing firms, on average spend about 6%. Average firm spends about 10% of their time on marketing. Average top firm spends about 30% of their time on marketing. And then when you move into like ensembles and enterprise where you're doing scale, right, then those ratios change entirely because now you're not talking about personal time, you're talking about firm time. How do you spend those marketing resources? So Kitsis has a great study that we talk about every year in terms of where is that cost going? So percentage left column, percentage of advisors using that strategy, client referrals, still the number one because you get it, right? You do it no matter what. Clients really are responsible for that one. Seminars are the least. One of the things I hear over 30 years is I hear people call me up and they're like, I can't do seminars. Seminars don't work. I can't do COI. COIs don't work. I can't do drip marketing. Drip marketing doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, great. It either doesn't work for you or it doesn't work the way that you did it, but it can absolutely work. We have had clients build wildly successful practices using every single one of these models, every one of them, seminars included. One of our first years of Limitless, we had a guy that was doing seminars and he was working like 80 hours a week and every weekend and he was insane. And he doubled his seminar revenue to like 2 million, started running marathons, took like 60 days off. We just tweaked his seminar strategy. He had laid the tracks, but what he hadn't done, he hadn't optimized it. Right. So that's what a lot of today's lessons are about. You're going to talk about today choosing your channels. This is good data around like what are other advisors doing, right? Solicitors, writing a book, referrals, any of these can work for you if you give them the time, care, and attention that they need, right? You are not just tossing out Jack's magic beans and getting a beanstalk. You're farming. Right. You are sowing the earth. You are tilling the soil. You are planting the seeds. You are nurturing it. Right. You're laying the tracks. Pick the analogy that works for you. Each of these has costs. Some are upfront. Some are ongoing. Right. Some are more hard dollars. Some are more time intensive. And so you can look at that data a lot more closely. And it really goes into the aggregate client acquisition cost for each of the strategies. Right. So SEO has a pretty low client acquisition cost. We really like to optimize SEO. One, you should all be doing it. It's what leads people to your website. Two, once you set it up, it requires minimal work for you. And three, it has a pretty low client acquisition cost, right? Like low-lying fruit if you have not optimized SEO on your website. Client referrals, right? Blogging. I got to ask Michael about this. I'm 56,000. I feel like if you have a good blog going, it's probably a little bit cheaper than that. So I've got to look at the data, but that is, so if you're going to do a blog, really think about that. It's what the data would argue. 2021 revenue due to client referrals. What we have seen, dramatic change in organic growth from client referrals over the last 9 years. It's gone from, I just wrote about this, 9%, 9.3% to 3.3%, 2% in some studies. And by the way, has the demand for advice gone down over the last 10 years or has it gone up exponentially? It's gone up. So what happened to all the client referrals? So if you look at the data and you read between the lines, what the data says is those clients or potential clients are not asking your clients or centers of influence for referrals. They're going to the podcast, they're going to the seminar, they're going to the webinar, they're going to the newsletter, they're going to the blog, because now it's a digital world and you can get clients anywhere, but it also means so can your competition, right? So that's what you want to be really aware of, is where is all that time and money going? Right? Here's how different firms are marketing based on size. Smaller high growth practices are using online advisor listings. I have people complain that they don't work all the time, and we have firms using them that are growing so fast, they're just, you know, the wheels are coming off. So again, it's how you show up. Are you doing the premium listing or the not premium listing? Always choose the premium listing, by the way, right? So we really, you can look through that data some more and really start to see what are different firms doing relative to where you are. It's really about getting clear on what is the value of a client, what am I willing to invest to retain a client based on the value that I perceive relative to my circumstances. You might be saying, I'll be happy to spend $10,000 a client. I just don't have $10,000 to invest, right? Which means we've got to look at strategies and channels that are more personal and networking driven, right? So we can create some momentum, or things that are low cost or no cost, right? So that we can get that momentum going and then pull money back into the marketing machine, if you will. So the goal today is really to help you gear up your growth engine, which in the world of Limitless starts with getting really clear about what you want to grow into and why. That's where we really started first quarter. Who you do your best work with and the value you're going to deliver with that growth, right? That's Q2. How you're going to scale that growth, think Q3 productivity, right? People, process, and platform. And then we're in a really good position to hit Q4, wide-eyed about what it really takes to create and manage growth, to sit in the seat and say, can I evaluate how I'm growing now? What changes can I make on my foundation? And then from there, right, what does my bigger marketing strategy look like? But do not forget to focus first on foundation. If you're year one, that's your priority. If you're year two and year three, and you've done that, and you're right, turning the gears and refining the tracks, if you will, then, right, we can look at adding additional strategies, right, improving and deepening. And those, right, when you're ready to do that, reach out and let us know. All right, so we have a very full agenda today. What's next is you're either going to join me for choosing channels, or you're going to join some of our alumni. This is a tough choice, I know, but fortunately, everything is recorded. And they're going to walk you through some of the channels that they use to successfully practice using Limitless strategies. So each of these people, right, has been through Limitless, listened to the same advice, listened to the same exact lessons we're going to teach you today, and applied them with really good success. So if you're interested in social media, webinars, education, podcasts, you can dive into that. If you want to come back and forth, you can. But with that, I'm going to release you to your next session. And if you're in choosing your channels, I will see you there.